Welcome to Conversations in Equine Science. My name is Kate Acton and I'm joined by Nancy McLean, and this is the podcast where we take equine research and try and make it accessible to horse owners and enthusiasts alike. Remember that with each topic we discuss, it's important to get professional advice before implementing any of the strategies. This week, Nancy and I are discussing an article titled Development and Preliminary Validation of an Equine Brief Pain Inventory for Owner Assessment of Chronic Pain Due to Osteoarthritis in Horses. And this is a paper by Diane L. Howard, Brian E. Lancaster, and Jenny DeGraw. So in the simple summary of this paper, they say that horses suffering from joint degeneration, which is called osteoarthritis, often suffer pain and lameness that will affect their well-being and their welfare. Owners or caregivers can observe and interact with their horses the most, but as pain and disability can vary over time, it'd be valuable to have a tool to help them monitor the level of osteoarthritis pain. So to this end, the authors designed a questionnaire, and they tested this questionnaire to see how easy it was to use and to see how it was interpreted by 25 owners and or caretakers of horses that do suffer with arthritis. So of these, 88% found the tool useful and 84% found it easy to use. The tool takes less than 5 minutes to complete, and the readability test showed that it could be completed reliably by people with English language reading skills comparable to those with a sixth or seventh grade education. So in Ireland, that's sixth class of primary school or going into first year in secondary school, around 11 to 12 years old. So the resulting tool is undergoing further reliability testing in a larger population of owners and caretakers of both arthritic and healthy horses before it'll actually be introduced in practice. So you can look up this paper and you can see this tool at the moment, but that's why it's important just to note in the title of the paper, it does say preliminary. So more testing is going to be done on this, and we'll definitely report back once those papers are published. But at the moment, it's very promising and it's a very nice, easy to use tool. So having looked through it myself and considering my mare when I read it, I thought it was a great way to try and assess pain for owners and horses, especially when they talk about osteoarthritis being the type of pain that kind of can ebb and flow. So it's a chronic pain, but there can be flare-ups. So maybe owners are only really noticing the acute aspect when there's a flare-up, and they might be missing the more chronic aspect of the arthritis. But Nancy, you also find this very useful for Greta.
Yeah, Greta's 27. In fact, 27 today would be her full date. And you know, she does have some osteoarthritis. My vet is giving her a treatment plan and it's working very, very well. And, you know, in reading this, I could see little tidbits of signs that I might have missed. She is a runner. She loves to get out there in the pasture and play and run. And she's a little fiery chestnut. So that makes me think she feels good. However, there are times when I think she is a little stiff. And she at one point had stumbled on her one leg, hind end leg, and she kind of came off funny on the right leg. Well, then her hock became a little swollen, and that's when I had my vet out and to let's reassess her and see her quality of life with this. She was not lame. It was just a spavin that was swollen, but was not really affecting her you know, the way she was hitting the ground, as we would say on the track. So, but at any rate, what we are doing treatment wise is working well with her. The swelling's down. She's active. You cannot keep this horse down. So to have this type of a questionnaire so easy. In fact, I already printed it out. I'm hoping to laminate it and have it in the barn so I can take one of those erasable markers and maybe once a week reassess her and circle. And then the next time I do it, use a different color just to keep track. And I thought it was so interesting in this paper that they included weather, because I have seen it, the rainy, damp, cold days, she's a little stiffer than she would be in a sunny, warmer day. Now that she's getting treated, though, you know, she seems to be doing well regardless of the weather, but I'm still going to keep track.
And I think you made a great point that, you know, she more or less seemed to be going okay before you identified that she had the osteoarthritis, because I think with osteoarthritis, often it does go unnoticed because it's so, it can so slowly progress. It's degenerative changes over a long period of time. And we're with horses, they're prey animals. They are going to hide that pain to a degree, particularly where we're not clued in on how to read the facial expressions. So, I mean, I don't know how many times I've mentioned this at this point. We should have been putting a penny aside every time, but the horse grimace scale is so useful. And what was really interesting in this paper is that they mentioned, I think it was three of the professionals, the equine professionals, I'm going to find that again, but I believe it was three of them had never heard of the grimace scale and had never used it. So I thought that was a bit of a shame, because it is something that we should, if we have horses, we really should know how to use the grimace scale to assess them. But they learn to adapt with this type of pain, and they learn to still carry out relatively normal behaviors until it either flares up acutely or it gets to a degree where they can no longer easily carry out those behaviors. And the other thing they pointed out in the paper, which was a great comparison, is horse owners don't spend as much time with the horses as dog owners, for example, spend with their dogs. So if you're in the house with your dog all day, you're going to notice after a nap, they're kind of stiffer to get up. They're struggling a little bit more when they get out of their bed. Whereas you can miss that with horses, especially where they're turned out to pasture. You're not going to see that getting up and down, definitely not consistently. And even in the stable, like, they're so routine driven. So you could come out to the stable, you know, at the same time every morning, but they're already standing and waiting for you because they know you're about to be there. So you could, again, just miss that aspect of that struggle or something that might clue you in that there's something going on.
Yeah, and even if you go out every morning and there's no bedding in their tail or on their belly, or, you know when your horse has lain down throughout the night, but you don't see that smoothness of being able, you know, of them being able to get up.
Yeah, and I think in one of our papers, Nancy, that we covered before, I think it was actually the paper on horse bedding. We talked about the fact that horses need to lie down to get REM sleep. And if they don't get that REM, that rapid eye movement sleep, they don't heal. So it's a really vital part of them being able to actually flush out toxins, I guess, and from the brain, and to be able to heal. And with osteoarthritis, there is a chronic inflammation going on. So if they're not comfortable enough to even lie down, then that's going to hinder them welfare-wise.
Yep, that's really important. And for me, I did notice that she was not rolling. She's like, I can groom her every night. And if she gets turned out, she's going to come in with mud this time of the year or dirt. And I started to notice she was too clean for her.
That's a great observation.
And that's when I thought, up, I'm going to have Doc come out and go over each horse and give me a wellness assessment. And, you know, sometimes another pair of eyes. I see my horses every day. I do spend a lot of time with them. But, you know, it's good your vet have a baseline, too, for if you need them to come out for a sick call or something, because he's got that wellness check that he can refer to. And anyway, we ended up putting her on Equiox, which is like Prevacox for dogs. And then that has worked really well. And then the Adequin, which is the glucosamine injections. And I have to say, that is remarkable. So I'm glad that we came up with the treatment plan, and it's working for her. And each horse is an individual. So she's not really a good candidate for a supplement because she smells at a mile away and will not eat. So it's important these older horses continue to eat and, you know, keep weight on, because they're so prone to all of a sudden they don't have the proper weight, or they're a little light in the middle of winter.
And you know what I was just thinking, Nancy, as you were saying that, actually, trying to gather all my learning together from all the podcast episodes we've done. But we did a podcast, and I can't remember the full title, but it was around the mentation of horses and the importance of addressing a mental well-being as such, or to think about horses as needing to have a good mental well-being. And you have to, within that, consider too, like, giving food is an enrichment to them, and it's something that they enjoy. And if you're giving them food with a supplement that they don't like to eat, but they're just eating it because they're hungry, or kind of eating it because they have to, then that has a bit of a implication on their mentation too. So I think if we were really going to the gold standard, you know, we should try and, again, just find their likes and dislikes and what works best for them. And personally, for my horse, an injection once every 4 weeks would far surpass having to give her a supplement in feed. I was telling Nancy before, but she's turned out all year round and does not take well to being stabled, is not a fan of it whatsoever. She's been a Connemara pony, born and bred on the hills since she was a foal. So the odd time we have had to stable her, like when she had to have her eye removed, she's not a fan. She'll suffer through it, but it's not her happy place. And she's not actually given additional feed at the moment because she has great condition, and we are very lucky with our pasture qualities and just hay supplementation. So it would be a lot of a consideration to try and give her a supplement that she would have to take potentially daily, having to separate her from her herd mate to be able to feed her. The herd mate isn't being fed, so that's another consideration. And it's a lot to try and do, especially in a pony or a horse that doesn't appreciate that kind of approach, I guess. So it just made me think about when it does come to horses getting older, and we do have to medicate them and we have to help them, but we need to constantly consider their quality of life and their enjoyment and how we can improve that within our options too. So I know the injections are more expensive, but just another, I suppose, another way to look at it is what I'm maybe trying to present.
Well, and you know, for her, before I started the Adequan, we did the Equiox. And I, of course, I'm looking for something that I can give her as a treat and have this little tiny pill in it. And I carved out the carrot, put it in, and she was okay the first one. And then after that, she wouldn't take the carrot. So I ended up getting these German horse muffins, which smell so good, I want to eat one. And I take half of one, because they're very rich, I would assume. And I take this little pill, stick it in the very center, and then mash, because these are soft muffins. So they're like human muffins, you know, and I squish it all around the pill. And let me tell you, she doesn't think twice. She grabs that. So
brilliant.
She's not on the Equiox currently because we did it to reduce the swelling in the hock for 30 days. And then 2 weeks into that, we started the Adequan injection. So she's on her, this week will be her third week for that. Now that has really increased her flexibility, her smoothness, her rhythmic hitting the ground, and she's got suspension again. So remarkable product. I'm just so impressed with it. I just hope she doesn't feel so good that she ends up tearing around the field. Like, but, you know, so far so good. And, but anyway, I agree, Kate, it's very difficult sometimes, to medicate them using feed or treats or whatever, because right away she's suspicious of carrots. So we're beyond that now, and she's eating carrots again, but they can smell things a mile away.
Oh, and they're so adept at actually feeling the tablet within their feet. Like, horses are just incredibly sensitive to that. They can eat the whole bucket of feed, as many of us will have witnessed or endured, and just that tablet is left there at the end.
It is.
Oh my gosh, I've seen that done with even sugar beet, like the sweet molasses, and they still pick it out. It's just, some of them are really incredible. Sorry, I think I went over you there, Nancy.
Oh no, that's okay. I was just gonna go through suspecting osteoarthritis, because I thought the neatest thing about this paper was their search engine that they used to come up with a lit review. And they found so much, so many references and periodicals and journals. So they grouped together a series of symptoms, and also their symptoms that the focus groups came up with. And it's subtle lameness, change in gait, maybe changes in posture, changes in holding up feet for cleaning or farrier visits, resistance to upward transition. So they might not really want to go from a walk to a trot or a walk to a canter. That might be something that I might not have picked up on. And then they also are lame, have stiffness, and not being able to do an activity that was possible earlier in their life. So like lateral movement, maybe rolling in the mud, maybe laying down at night. So all those little things kind of gave the people doing this research things they could grab onto to come up with that questionnaire.
And that questionnaire, as I did say, is visible. So I highly recommend everyone pops on to have a look, because it's a real easy scale to use. And then at the end, you just tot up your observation and you can observe more than once. So there's a first observation and a second, a total score for each. So you can see, as Nancy said, maybe do it each week or see how it improves over time, or potentially gets worse. But I liked your idea, Nancy, of laminating it and having it in the barn. And then you can just take a picture each time. So you have that record on your phone over a longer time, but you're able to easily fill that in for them.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so, so useful. I'm just going to quickly read. My horse usually stands, and at the 0, 1, 2, 3 part of that number system or Likert scale, my horse usually stands in a relaxed manner and may rest its hind legs alternately. And well, then at the other end, around 9 or 10, it's my horse usually stands in one position with very little movement. So it gives you a picture there. what it may look like if your horse is experiencing the beginnings of osteoarthritis. And I also thought it was interesting that some horse owners don't want to think about their horse as having arthritis because it's a reflection on their management. But let me tell you, these racehorses off the track, you know, the way they're started so young and the way we train them, by the time they get near 20, and Greta is 27, of course they're going to have some forms of arthritis. They're like an athlete, a human athlete that, you know, played maybe football at young life or did track and field. They're bound to have joint issues. So I'm, you know, kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't think about that with her. But this is wonderful because it's questions like that. They deal with posture, facial expression, movement, and behavior. And you can just go through and every week circle what number you would give it between 0 and 10. And then maybe the next week, assess it, you know, and reassess and see and maybe correlate it with weather or maybe the training you've been doing or slick conditions in the pasture, things like that. So just a wonderful tool. I'm definitely going to be using it and I'm going to look forward to their finalized product.
And in this paper as well, so they carried out 3 focus groups. And this kind of just leads in, Nancy, when you were saying about the horses moving laterally or the different aspects of this questionnaire that kind of make you think about it a little bit differently. Because in the focus groups, they had a mix of both amateurs and professionals. So they also had, so professionals, amateurs, as well as equine body workers. Now, these equine body workers were individuals holding some form of certification, not necessarily a qualified physiotherapist. And then they also had a person who was specializing in equine rehabilitation and another who was specializing in equine anatomy. And then the disciplines that these people were familiar with was leisure riding, dressage, show jumping, reining, ground work, and liberty work. But when they actually spoke to them in the focus groups afterwards and listened to the discussions, they found that essentially the amateurs were maybe looking at pain in a different way to the professionals. So the professionals seemed to really clue in and use very specific examples for recognizing that pain or the signs of pain or lameness, such as that laterality or specifics in their movement, whereas the amateurs were more so commenting on the horse no longer enjoying activities that they used to enjoy. So that is a natural progression. I mean, until we're used to looking at movement over a long period of time, and we do need to actually put in time and years of work to become really experienced in that, then we are going to view it slightly differently. Both are very valuable. Like viewing it from the point of view of the horse's enjoyment is a valuable indicator as well. But what I thought was great about the brief pain inventory, so that's what this is called, the equine brief pain inventory, is that you can train yourself to pick up on these things while using this scale. So you become more familiar, you're asking yourself questions about how they're standing, as Nancy said, and their facial expressions. Then there's some actually on how they move, like their gait. So whether they move easily into a higher gait or they're reluctant to move into trot or canter. Do they have a preference for soft ground where available? Do they struggle walking downhill? So there's lots of different aspects that you can then start to focus in on with your horse and see, is that something that you were aware of before? One of the ones actually that stood out to me as well was my horse, if they're on the low end of the scale, moves forward with a loose stride. If they're on the high end of the scale where there could be pain, That statement would be my horse is short striding with the back or front legs. And how many people would really pick up short striding? I don't think it would be as high an amount of owners as we would necessarily think would be able to pick that up. But having read this, you could go away then and YouTube some videos of horses short striding. And then look at your horse, video your horse, compare them. And that way you're kind of educating and informing yourself in picking up those movements as well.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that came to, I think something that I thought is a good point that we don't always think of is that they recommended when a veterinarian gives an analgesic treatment, like the Equiox or maybe Bute or whatever they pick, this type of questionnaire could keep you aware of when your horse maybe can lower the dose or go with a little higher dose under the veterinarian's care. So you can keep your vet in the loop. Like, oh, you know, this morning during the cold weather, the horse was really short striding or stumbling a little or just not using all four legs, you know, adequately. Say they're galloping with, you know, and they're off or they're misfiring or whatever, you can kind of mark that down. And then next time you're talking to your vet, you can kind of get a clue for fluctuating treatment. So maybe you could go from 24-hour treatment to every other day or something like that. So it makes a good point in here that it's a good tool to assess. So maybe the horse doesn't need constant treatment over time, maybe once that initial injury is healed. And that's what we ended up doing with Greta, is taking the Equiox away. Now, maybe in a few weeks, we might determine, let's go ahead and reintroduce it again. But it doesn't have to be constantly.
That's a great point. And again, I'm not sure if we said this earlier, but this takes less than 5 minutes to complete. I actually think if you were using this regularly, that you would become much quicker at filling it out, even like once you know the questions and what you're looking for. But it's less than 5 minutes to be completed, and it is easy to use and interpret by owners. Just to again go over the fact that it is preliminary at the moment, it is a really nice tool. I can't see how it wouldn't be useful, regardless of the fact it was used with a small sample size. I actually think it is very much applicable, as Nancy says. It's something that you can help inform your decision in contacting a vet. It's something you could talk to your vet about, like specifics. You know, I find that they are struggling to rise, they're having difficulty walking downhill. So you can definitely pick parts out of that that are really going to help with you addressing whether your horse is suffering from these arthritic changes, which, as Nancy said, you know, they're bound to happen, and it's nothing to do with your management of the horse. It does just inform your management going forward.
Yeah. And the other thing is, it's great. This just came out in January, Kate. So it's a January 2024 paper. Did you mention that?
I don't think I did, actually. Thank you, Nancy.
I was impressed that, oh my gosh, this really hit it very, very early in the year. And so this is all new. So this is current. And, you know, I hope it helps people out that maybe have, you know, they have a lameness issue with their horse, or I think it could be used for other illnesses too, like maybe Cushing's. You know, they say the Presenne has issues with, the horse either getting too flighty or too kind of like dreary and depressed and all that. So maybe it would be easy to track the effects of the Cushing's as well. But anyway, I love this paper, and we'll go ahead and do the link on the homepage. And then we did have an email that Cheryl wanted us to do a little research on equine genetic test. She has seen the ads on Facebook, and she just doesn't know, are they reliable or is it a gimmick, or should, you know, is it too new in the horse area? You know, so I kind of looked into it, and they're around $200. So Kate and I will look into it and see if they're reliable or not, and what the issues or the problems may be with doing this. Now, the dog one I have done, and that's a saliva test. But this one that I did see the ad on Facebook is a hair sample. So Kate and I will look into it, and you know, we'll do an episode on that if the research is there.
I have heard with the dog one, and I'm presuming it depends on the company, but there was, I think it was the UK watchdog, they submitted the same sample from a dog to a company numerous times and got different answers every time, because you need to submit a picture with the sample. So they submitted a different picture each time, but it was the same dog sample, and they got wildly ranging answers that really were based on the picture in the end.
That is crazy. See, that's what I would be thinking about with the horse thing, but I don't know. It just said send a hair sample in. Now, Cheryl named a company, but I thought, you know, maybe there are some reliable, some
I mean, there's genetic testing that absolutely can be carried out. So we'll have a look into it. But I just wanted to say thank you, Nancy, for suggesting this paper, because this was a lovely read. And actually, it's funny that it's so new. Like, it was published the 2nd of January, because it's been on our radar for about 2 weeks, I would say now.
Yeah.
And we were queuing up to record, and it was very serendipity that today we ended up picking suited us both to record, and today is actually Greta's birthday. Yeah. So it all came together in the end.
She will get her German muffin tonight, I will tell you. So
amazing.
Anyway, thanks, Kate. This was very informative. I enjoyed it, and I learned so much. So we'll be back next week with another episode. And any requests, go ahead and send them in via Facebook or the Anchor homepage.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Nancy. Take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.